Yeah, you sound great. You're getting the distance down perfect.
I'm trying to learn, from you. And I especially want to have the right. hey, we gotta remember to use that for a cop bit if we do like cop speaking through like motorcycle cop over the microphone mic that they have broadcast.
Yes, that might be. I don't know. We might want to save our cop hunk for a different century. Yeah. No, but it's good. I get you though.
Good point.
Fighter pilot, hey. Maybe.
Top Gun, or that Top Gun bit we've always wanted to do. Yeah. Where we go head to head with the Netprov Russians over the skies of the Cold War zone.
Denial of service. Here we come. Coming out of the sky.
Rob, I just saw
hackers at 12 o'clock.
They just hung up the sign for the pub that we're building at ELO Orlando. ELORANDO, I think. ELORANDO.
And we have to make sure and say Electronic Literature Organization, which is kind of a sense, you know, we can say that it's our, you know, natural habitat in a way in terms of it's where really cool creative people, really cool scholars of electronic literature hang out. And it's quite a community. And
For me, it's hard not to say the Electronic Literature Organization without, you know, just throwing in there that it's the premier organization and community of artists and scholars working in the field of digitally born literature. Here to promote that scholarship and the art therein, and as well as inviting and including new people to participate at every toss and turn. By the way, that organization has a wonderful listserv, a blog, and many wonderful projects, including, not to mention, not least of all, that annual conference that is this year happening not in Orlando, but online. I mean, something like that might fall from my lips
if we
bring it up.
Why are we not recording? Yeah, I mean, Could you reconstruct that for the show?
You know, when we do the actual show, I know it's gonna come out as like ELO blah. That's usually what I
say. And we were, and you know, like we were just sometime recently we were just talking about, it's just a really welcoming, cool community, and I'm really glad that the pub is open, because I just think the pub is such a super cool idea. Because, you know, and I can introduce that because I can just say, you know, Mark was pointing out, and I totally agree with him, that the coolest part about conferences is, in a way, the conference, the presentations and the papers and everything are
the most
really
important
stimulating
part of conferences.
And also, we just love hanging out with people in the hall, seeing old friends, and meeting new people. Like, I just was getting sad this morning that. A little bit that it's like the thing that I love about in-person conferences is that I always there, you know, anybody you talk to at anybody you sit next to at lunch and talk to at these conferences is super interesting. They're
the
always
person
like
you're standing around with at the
amazing,
coffee thing.
They're always amazingly interesting. And so I like to try to strike up conversations with people I don't know, people who are new to the group, just because they're super interesting. But
and Rob, do you have strategies for that? Like when you come up to somebody at a coffee, do you have like an opening line that you say or something like that? I mean, because for some people that can be really awkward, right? Even if you're at the
same. Well, I tend to, at conferences, unless it's really hot weather, I tend to have an air horn in my pocket. So I just like let loose with about a 2-second blast on the air horn. That seems to get people's attention. And then I say, hi.
I have something similar. It's physical. I just put my arms over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I say, I am so happy you're here at this conference with me.
and then the campus security is called
and those are nice guys. Those guys they're really wonderful. They're great. No. They love playing cards even when you're in the campus cell, you know.
I know people are super nice, and it's a kind of a writing and design based conference, and people are very verbal. So I've never had a problem. It's fun to just talk to people. But what, you know, the thing I want to do on the show is just to point towards, that's what the pub is. The pub is a Discord channel that is part of the conference that serves the function of all those hallway and, you know, coffee break conversations. So,
it's the place where you can go when you want to skip sessions. So I have to say something, make sure I say this in the podcast for the record. I can sit through about maybe a day and a half worth of talks, or actually I take that back, a panel and a half worth of talks if I'm not on, even if I'm on it, actually, to be honest. And then I kind of like lose the capacity to absorb anything anyone's saying. And so of course that's why those like informal gatherings are so important. Cause I'd love to hear someone's project over coffee or over drinks rather than like, here's a prepared talk. I mean, again, presenters at ELO are wonderful. They're dynamic. They're cool. They're interactive. But like, nonetheless, I've got this, I reach my threshold awfully quickly.
Well, it's a lot of thunking. It's a lot of thunking all in a row. And, you know, especially in summer when, you know, we as academics are duty bound to have our thunkers turned off mostly, right?
Yeah, I usually have mine plugged into the wall or I'm borrowing somebody else's thunker power stick or whatever it might be. And so one of my favorite moments of conferences is that just ultimate, like, exhilarating Huck Finn moment where you just skip your first session. And, you know, for a little while, because I don't know, because I was raised Catholic or whatever, I feel a bit of guilt. But I'll tell you, that lasts about like, you know, half a second. And then I just feel this tremendous joy at not having to be somewhere, having to listen to something, and just being in charge of my own time, which is ridiculous because you pay all this money to go to these conferences.
I know exactly what you mean. And there's this beautiful thing that happens as you're kind of tiptoeing out and your mind is willing, please don't look at me getting up and leaving this session, please. Nobody notice that I'm... And then you get out in the hall, but you see someone else tiptoeing in the same way, and there's this little flash of recognition. It's like, ooh, we're playing hooky.
I mean, usually I run into somebody like Soren Paul, who instead of saying why are you sneaking out of that, he'll say, so where are we going?
Right.
and usually the implication is not any cast any aspersions on Soren, but usually the implication is, which pub are we going to?
Exactly.
So now you'll be able to go he's
not alone. That's me too. No, that's great. I'm really, really glad that's part of the conference. Because, that's, you know, lots of lifelong friends and lots of creative projects come from those conversations.
A long time ago, David Perry said to me, we bring all, who's a great, like, I don't know what you'd call him, like, just a great media scholar of emerging media practices, who first turned me on to Twitter back on, I don't know, I would say like 2007 or something like that. And he had just sort of figured it all out and saw the future, really. But anyway, he once said to me, like, why do we waste all this time having people write papers, go to the same space, physically go to the same space, read those papers to one another, and then go home? When really, if you have all those people in the same place, why not take advantage of that and let them interact over the ideas that they're presenting? And so his theory was always just flip the conference and have people read the papers in advance and then come and talk. But I think that would, you know, not only do people not like to write their papers before the airplane ride to the conference.
Exactly.
I think the tendency for people to want to read stuff, I mean, the whole reason they're going to the it's like the audiobook experience. The whole reason they're going to the conference. You know.
But he's right. And I finally figured out that that's what people meant by flipping the conference, because I thought it was an acrobatic thing that I was getting too old to participate in. But I can still do that.
Well, good. Well, that would
so. It just reminds me of another thing. I'm just making a note because I would, you know, we could maybe for the podcast we should do kind of like the top five rules or top five things that always happen at conferences. Because another one, the one that I always love is that one of the top five people that you super want to see their presentation, whoever, like the people that are just, you really, really want to learn from what they have to say, they're always scheduled at the same time that you're scheduled. Just invariably. That person is there. And, you know, I get this little internal conversation sometimes even of like, I don't want to be the person who's talking to the completely empty hall, but people should really go to that person's talk because it's going to be more interesting than mine. I would.
Yeah. I think I would add to that list maybe the panel you end up stuck in because you felt obligated to hear the first person speak, and then later presentations end up being fascinating. I think that's another conference. I'm not all about skipping all of the conference.
No,
I'm about skipping like very strategically. But there is something about the like serendipity, and some conferences are better than that than others.
Absolutely.
But
ELO, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing. Again, it's like, I feel guilty-ish when I tiptoe out of a thing, but it really is a stamina thing. It isn't a desire thing, because you're absolutely right. Like, that's the you know, I always come back from those conferences with like a whole bag full of just amazing new little examples of like really interesting piece of art, or really interesting artistic strategy, or really interesting kind of thinking furniture that the theorists have offered that I find immediately useful.
Swedish thinking furniture is the hardest to assemble.
I know.
In my experience.
Terrible. It's terrible. I mean, they don't, I mean, the instructions, the wordless instructions, seriously? Yeah, for putting an argument, like, yeah. No, I have, I'm sitting, if this was a video podcast, like, people would see behind me a theory of mind that the top part of which is actually upside down, and I just kind of cut it and forced it there, and you know, the designers of that theory would recognize it.
It's at a jaunty angle, but it's kind of like the Leaning Tower piece. It looks like it's constantly ready to collapse on you, but
you can't put anything on it. No, it won't. Yeah, it won't hold a thought for more than a second. So anyway,
another thing I like about conferences, I'll tell you, is, but of course, like, the conversation you would have late at night after all the panels are done with somebody. Yeah. And they just tell you about some really cool project that they're working on. That happened to me with Jacob Garby and Aaron Reed. They showed up, I think it was an ELO, but it could have even been, God forbid, MLA. And because where we did an ELIT reading in Chicago once, and we were all sitting around at a bar once, and they pulled out the Icebound Compendium, which is just a phenomenally cool project. It's an app, super it's a book, cool. It's augmented
story
reality.
Games.
Story yeah, it's
game
AI. Yeah.
Thing.
But
speculative fiction. Yeah.
And
treasure trove.
And because we were there, you were there too at that evening, by the way. And Scott Retberg was there, and a bunch of other ELIT folks were there. And actually, like, that was probably better that they presented it in that context than if they had given a talk at the conference. Like, in other words, like, we were both more Plato Symposium style. Right.
Right.
Not just like loosened up with liquor, but like in a more relaxed.
Lying on couches. We were all lying on couches.
We were lying on couches. Right. And so that like makes you better disposed maybe to hear certain ideas than if you're sitting like, oh, now we're back in school. Right.
That's right.
Where we got to be in our school cells.
Absolutely. Right? No, I remember that too. And it was just like, what? And then what? And then it was like mind blowing structural idea after mind blowing structural idea. Yeah, no, it's true. So, well, I think we have, I mean, it is, you know, again, you hate to say it because you love the in-person part of conferences, but you love it for the reasons that you were just talking about, the informal interactions as much as anything. But I think I'm going to like many of the presentations being on video, just because then you can kind of, you know,
skip them, fast forward them.
Oh, now you're hitting a sensitive point. Like, that's one of those things we were talking about denial earlier, but that's one of the things, this is a total snail dart, but one of the things I'm most deeply in denial about with my online lectures that I record for my classes is the fact that they offer the 1.5 speed and the 2x speed options. And it's like, I know that my students are listening to me like, and it's just, I won't let myself think about that because I'll just burst into tears. I have to believe in a world where they have to suffer. I mean, they have to listen.
Just so you know, I slow your videos down when I watch them. I slow them down to, you know, -5 of the speed, just so I can drag out my time with you more. Just so you know, Rob.
Thank you.
It's like the sloth speed for sure. Now, the one thing I want to point out, though, is I do have a question about this, which is
okay.
So we've got this pub, right?
Okay. So we want to do a big hunk on the pub.
It's definitely going to be like BYOB, right? Because, I mean, it's not only that, but it's like bring your own imaginative co-presence. But a little bit of my fear is, since the Discord is also the platform for formal discussions at the conference, like how do you not make that also feel like more work, right? It's just like how Zoom has turned into like,
I actually have an answer. I have an answer to that question. I'm not sure it's the answer, but it's an answer. Is misspelling. I think there's a place for, you know, that I love sort of creative or vernacular everyday spelling in the creative work that I do. But I think that's a way, absolutely. Like if we don't capitalize that first word of the sentence, like, I think that's the equivalent of wearing jeans and a t-shirt in a suit and tie world. I think there's a way, literally just through linguistic stuff, like informal language and text message stuff, you know, your work too, like one of the things is that we love as in Neprov, and a lot of Neprovers love, is writing the way we talk, you know, which is still, we don't have as much of a separation as in some traditions and some cultures, but we still, there is a formal thing. So anyway, that helped.
And you talk about that as orthogonal? Is that the term?
Well, orthography is sort of, unless
or is
I'm
that more like,
total, I have to, hey, can, who's, where's Stan, the new intern?
Stan's still going through human resources.
Okay. Well, when he gets there, let's remember, have him look up orthography, because it may not mean what I think it means, but I think it means literally sort of how you write things. It's like
the rule, but I think it's the rules you have to follow when you write things.
It's correct hand. It's like literally like correct handwriting, you know, correct.
So metaphorically, you can use that to talk about like incorrect spelling or to break
exactly
play with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And of course, I know you've written about a lot when it comes to like, you know, how we create characters and work study Seth, but I think just to recapitulate, so what you're saying is that somehow the couches of discord, or the, like you said, the jeans and the t-shirt, is informal type.
I think so, yeah. I think conversational language, and so again, I think people are going to do that. It'll be very interesting to see what people do. You know, we were just in Zoom yesterday where, as always in a lot of ELO things, many people at ELO conferences are sitting in the room and there's a speaker speaking, and they spend 90% of their time typing on their own computer or typing on their own phone, right? So there's a simultaneous listening, writing, performance thing that's happening. And in Zooms, that was a Zoom yesterday that had more active written things along with the conversational things that I'd seen in a while. But there's already a tradition. I want to try to say when we are recording is that there's already a tradition of writing alongside the actual
things. Taking notes or tweeting
and all that stuff, and the, you know, the text messages to their friends or text message groups and WhatsApp groups and stuff. So I think that's going to be pretty natural, I would guess. I think maybe the pub is just going to morph into that.
So, to make a note, so that was a preparatory meeting for a session that's happening at ELO, if I remember correctly, that's about COVID and the quarantine experience, making ELIT during the quarantine moment.
Yeah, they're doing research. They're doing research about Anna Nacher and Soren Pold, I think, and Scott maybe, Rutberg. Yeah. They're trying to gather sort of examples of COVID-related e-literature that's been done in this period.
So we may be actually skipping that panel at the pub, like people at.
I don't know. Well, what I'm saying is that people are not, nobody, you know, at those conferences, nobody's 100% there.
That's a good point. I see what you're saying.
People are also concentrating.
I got to push this a little bit further, because Rob, when we're at a conference together though, like I don't need, like I could sit with you. We both have a beer in hand or not. And I've already done enough work. Like, I don't have to, like, in other words, like typing, right? Like that is like a little bit of labor, right? Or a little bit of effort, as opposed to co-presence. Like, in other words, if I sit there in the pub and I don't type anything for a while, I honestly think someone's going to be like, hey, Mark, are you still there? You don't do that so often when we're sitting together. Like you don't poke me and go, hey,
well, that time,
hey Mark, are you still there?
Except there was the one time where I threw my coat over your head and.
Oh yeah, well yeah, but I did my part of the bit there.
That was a separate deal. Well, I mean, I have another idea about that actually, because one of the things that I've enjoyed during this period, and for whatever reason, it's a period in my life where I listen to a lot of British and Australian radio. I don't know why. Don't ask me why.
Well, this is a pretty long period of your life, right? This is like 10
I
years
guess,
of
but
that.
But really intensely last 10 years or something like that. But anyway, there was a BBC show during COVID. You know, everything was melting down. They were all talking about COVID and nothing but. And one of the shows, late night shows, declared that they were going to do a pub lockdown. So what lockdown I think means in terms of pubs is that's when the it's no longer legal to sell liquor, so they lock the door, but then people stay and drink kind of.
Oh, it's not an escape room. It's
the friends stay. No, it's like, it's a pub sort of, but it's even, it's a pub atmosphere, but even cooler, like the inner circle gathers to just relax and have fun. And they had, you know, celebrities and friends and sports people and stuff. And it was just, it was fun because it was new, because the Zoom quality was lo-fi and people were dropping in and out, all the kind of troubles of Zoom. It had this really spontaneous, fun feel that was analogous to the fun feel of skipping something and going out and socializing instead. But long way around to saying, since we're thinking of having an audio room in the pub, they played just a continuous background loop, and I may even have one. They played a pub background sound loop, and it was amazingly
of like people talking and clicking glasses,
like this,
that sort of thing,
like this. This is like that. So can you hear that?
Yeah.
So that's just a loop. We could have that, or something like it. I could find like a bar sound effect, because it's just as they bringing Premier League soccer back, they're putting fake crowd noise in, fake crowd noise drawn from EA Sports FIFA soccer game, because they already have a sophisticated algorithm. They have a library of songs from every club. They have a whole thing. And so on TV, and they're kind of very self-conscious about, is this okay? And you can go to this other channel if you don't want to hear the fake crowd noise and all that stuff. But, you know, everybody I've talked to who tried it, and my reaction was the same. You know you're being fooled, and it works. So
nice.
Anyway, that's
nice.
Just a long.
Well,
sorry
for spilling that on you.
No worries. That's okay. Well, let's. Anything else on your list? Because I'm looking at the time, and I'm.
Yeah, we gotta get ready to roll. Well, the only thing I want to throw out there is it possible that we could get a continuous loop of people making interesting conversation and witticisms, and we can just do the background noise like in live?
Yeah,
time,
I would love that.
Time?
Well, just have people come in and do the background noise.
Which
reminds me, oh, this is another, where's my snail darting? Okay, another snail dart, but you're reminding me of something that for years I've been trying to remember, is I want to come up to somebody at a conference, but hopefully like a theater person, and come up to them and say, rhubarb, rhubarb.
I love it.
So anyway, so we'll get people. Yeah. And my
peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
My late stepfather taught me what he was taught, as part of like an.
And Rob, before you finish this, can we go to a more quiet part of the bar for a second so I can hear this last part?
Okay. Oh, is that too loud?
I mean, it's pretty noisy in here.
The restaurant.
Crowded.
Okay. We'll go here.
Oh, this is it's a little quieter in here. Oh, it's really quiet in here.
Yeah.
This is super quiet.
I don't know. It's kind of echoey in here, but my late stepfather taught me what he was taught in an opera situation was, if like 4 out of 5 people say rhubarb, 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 then that sort of sounds, and then 1 person out of 5 says safasa, 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 and you put those 5 people together and, you know, multiply it by how many chorus people are on stage, it sounds like conversation.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Four parts rhubarb, rhubarb to 1 part safasa sounds like human conversation.
Well, hey, Rob, I apologize. I think that was that last announcement was my train.
Oh, okay.
So
you got to get it.
I got to go hop on it before we record. But
don't forget this. Don't forget your other bag. Yeah, you got both bags now?
Yeah, I think that's, and the projector and the mannequin.
So today, if there's anything we can do about cars, because what our our subliminal sponsor today is the Royal Virtual Car Wash of Kansas City. And I went to their website, quite honestly, don't tell anybody, but I can't figure out what they really mean by virtual car wash. It's like you stay at home. You're not even in the car. Your car. I think maybe they send people around to your house.
And what do they mean by royal? That's my
question. It's kind of Kansas City Royals. It's like a baseball town. I'm guessing there are bricks and mortar places near the ballpark. But anyway, so Royal Virtual Car Wash.
Okay. All right.
Okay, great. All right.
We'll work it in. We always find a way.
All right. Okay. Well, break a tongue, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Twist a tonsil.
Where is that intern?
Stan. No, but I really do have to catch that train. Wait, but I do have a question. Is this my mannequin or your mannequin?
Is it? Oh, no, that's yours.
Oh, okay.
That's yours.
All right. Hopefully they won't make me pay another passenger seat on it like they did the last time. They're real sticklers sometimes. Yeah. But I'll tell you, this mannequin, excellent conversation partner.